Run to Old Navy right now to get up to 50% off the entire store. Plus, this Saturday only. Don't miss this once-a-year event. Old Navy flip-flops are just $1. And for the first time ever, the first 50 people in line at each store will get a free pair. Hurry in Saturday for Old Navy's great flip-flop giveaway. Excludes clearance and gift cards. Valid 6/11 to 6/23. Flip-flop offer valid 6/20. In stores only. Limit 10 per customer. Legal residents of the 50 United States, D.C., and Puerto Rico, 16 and older. For details, visit a participating Old Navy store.
Hey, this is John Lee Dumas, the founder and host of Entrepreneur on Fire. And thank you for joining host Nancy Gaskins today as she explores the most pressing issues facing aspiring and emerging authors. Author Universe Radio, inspiration, training, and resources for authorpreneurs.
Welcome to Author Universe Radio. My name is Nancy Gaskins, and I am your host. Folks, you can listen live by computer or by telephone by calling in at 347-857-1169. All my shows are recorded and archived, so you can listen and learn online all year long, 24/7. On today's episode, you'll meet entertainer and author Joe Libby. Joe is a speaker and entertainer living in San Antonio, Texas. He's been a family entertainer for 3 decades, and his ventriloquism and magic performances have taken him everywhere from family backyards to the old Soviet Union. Today we'll be discussing his book, The Secrets to Planning Your Fun, Memorable, and Stress-Free Birthday Party. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you, Nancy.
So give us a little background. Tell us some things about you that we should know. I bet you're a fun guy to be around.
I hope so, yes. I'm a native of San Antonio, still live here in San Antonio. I love entertaining family audiences and kids audiences. Something a little unusual which I'll touch on here. This might be a subject for another book down the line, is that I am now a second degree black belt with the American Society of Karate, which is based in Houston. And kind of linking into that, 2 years ago I had a very serious incident. I had a subdural hematoma, and so I've had brain surgery, Nancy, and we actually think that it actually started as a result of the sparring part of my black belt test in 2013. So,
oh my goodness, I was going to ask you, is this to fight off the kids or the parents?
I didn't hear your question, Nancy.
I said, when you took both karate lessons to become a black belt, was that to fight off the kids or the parents or your wife?
Oh, just to protect myself. So yeah. So it was kind of a serious situation. I tell people, in fact, I just had a final visit with my surgeon this morning. He said everything was good. He doesn't, you know, so I'm very blessed. He said he doesn't need to see me anymore unless I need to see him. But one thing that's kind of interesting about that was that, you know, as part of the surgery for the drainage, he had to he had to drill a little hole in my skull, which is still there, and I guess I'm stuck with it. So you know, now I can tell people that that yes, I really do need that, like I need a hole in my head. So
are you able to do any karate, or is that over with now?
There's a lot of stuff I can do. I can't spar anymore. I can referee sparring, but I can't put on the gear and get in the ring anymore. I can't take that risk now.
So what prompted you to write this book? What's the story behind the story?
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, as a family entertainer, I do lots and lots of kids parties in San Antonio and in the surrounding area. And the idea behind it was really to provide a guide or a template that a parent could use to make planning a party just very easy and very stress free. I wanted to do whatever I can to to provide useful information and to make my clients' lives easier, to add value, you know, really to my services.
Well, how did you actually get started in entertaining? Have you always done this? Was you funny in school?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing was, I was kind of a shy kid in school, but I don't remember exactly where I started, but I can tell you what my influences were. Like for instance, I remember that when I was in school, Edgar Bergen was doing a lot of television at that time. This was a few years before he died in 1977, and I looked at him doing it, and for some reason that just kind of caught my attention, and I decided to start trying that, you know, working with puppets, and I think I got a Charlie McCarthy doll somewhere along the line, and that kind of started that, and then as far as performing magic went, I did get a magic set for, I don't remember, my birthday or for Christmas or something like that. Started learning the tricks in there. And I also remember, you know, watching magicians a lot on TV. And I remember, you know, Mark Wilson on the Magic Circus. I still have a very clear memory of seeing him, of him doing the illusion of banishing an elephant, and just being fascinated by that kind of thing.
Well, I was Sweeney the Great Houdini when I was a little girl. I loved magic as well.
that's a fascinating thing. I mean, you mentioned Houdini. I mean, kids these days know who Houdini is, and he's been dead, you know, 89 years. He died in 1926, but his popularity is such that his name is synonymous with the word magic still today.
So who's your target market? Are you going after parents or groups of people? Who would be best benefited by purchasing and reading your book?
Well, I think the primary market would be parents, would be moms and dads who are, especially those who might be planning their first birthday parties and wanted kind of a guide or a template to follow. But you know what? There's the information in the book is primarily targeted to birthdays, but you know, I think about 90% of that could apply to classroom parties or Christmas parties or Halloween or, you know, First Communion parties or different things like that. And so this could be usable for, you know, for grandparents also, or a teacher who is interested in planning a classroom party, you know. So the primary market is for parents, but it's really anyone who is interested in planning a party for children.
That I've read a little bit about, and I love when people talk about how they have really planned, and they have a party that is so over the top. And by over the top, I don't necessarily mean expensive. I just mean that it was so well thought out and planned that everybody just talks about it forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that, you know, sometimes we throw things together and they're fun, and, you know, but you look back over your birthdays of your childhood and maybe even your adulthood, and many times you can't even remember what you did on those birthdays. But some people can, because there was something that was just so memorable about a certain birthday, you know. So I'm curious, and I can't wait till we dig into your book just a little bit. But before we do that, I forgot to ask you, how in the world did you get to perform over in the Soviet Union?
Oh, that, you know, that was a really, really interesting thing. This was that's already a long time ago, because that was in 1990. And I was part of a group at the San Pedro Playhouse here in San Antonio, we were doing a show, and the show is kind of a catalog of I guess you could call it kind of a catalog show of Noel Coward. We did two of his one act plays and I think a dozen of his songs throughout the evening. So somebody came to us, somebody who was a friend of one of the performers in the show, said that they were planning this trip as kind of a cultural exchange to the Soviet Union, and would we be interested in going? And we said, well, yeah, sure,
why yeah.
Not? We were told that the Russian people love Noel Coward. We were told that more than once. So we were able to get all the arrangements made and went over there. And I remember that somebody coming up to us at one point who did speak English and asking us what a Noel Coward was. So we were evidently not everybody knew. However. I should say that the performances were very well received, and they especially liked the music because even if they didn't understand English, they could get into the music. So it was a big success. It was a kind of a one of a kind trip, and I can't say that I enjoyed every single minute of it because there were some weird things that happened, but overall it was hugely enjoyable, and I got to go with some people whose company I really enjoy, and it was a great 3 weeks over there.
Oh,
going to Moscow and Kiev in the Ukraine, and then St. Petersburg, and a couple of other little places, a couple of Black Sea ports.
What a treat.
I have some very fond memories and a couple of very odd memories about that. So, yeah.
Well, let's dig into your book, The Secrets to Planning Your Fun, Memorable, and Stress-Free Birthday Party. What are the biggest mistakes that parents make when they're trying to plan a party?
Well, I think the biggest mistake is not giving yourself adequate time to plan the party, and it's really not that difficult. I mean, you can give yourself about 3 to 4 weeks to do it, and you're not stressing out. You make your list about what you want to do by a certain date. It's certainly possible to get a party together in a short amount of time, and on more than one occasion I have been booked to perform at a birthday party on one day's notice, and if I'm available I can do it, so it is possible, but I really think you're opening yourself up to a lot of stress if you do it that way.
Well, how soon should you send out invitations? Do you have a rule of thumb for that, as well as is there a perfect number of people that you should invite? When is it too many, and when is it too few?
Well, the invitations, and that kind of dovetails into your previous question, because I think about 2 to 3 weeks for sending out the invitation that's adequate. You don't want to do it a whole lot longer than that because, you know, people forget. But I think if you do about 2 to 3 weeks, that's a good time, because that gives the families time to plan, especially these days when people just seem to have their weekend packed with stuff for the kids and for the adults and everything. But that gives them time to plan and then to respond. And I also think that you can certainly use Evite, but I do think that having a physical invitation, whether it's handed out or whether it's mailed, I still think that gets a better response, because it's physical, it's a real thing and not something that's going to get lost in your email inbox. And then, you know, it also goes up on the refrigerator or on the bulletin board, and so you're always looking at it and remembering it. As far as the number of people to invite, I think if you're doing like a very young child, like somebody 2 to 3 years old, that a good rule of thumb would be to take the child's age and add one to it. So if it's a 3-year-old, you can have up to 4 guests, and I think that's plenty at that point. And the party can be very simple. You know, you have some balls and some balloons, and and of course you have the cake and ice cream, and inevitably, I think if you have bubble wrap, sometimes kids just gravitate to that. And then as the kids get older, you can have 6 to 8 guests. If you have enough adults helping you, you can think about adding more children. And I'll tell you one thing that I see a lot in my area, and I can't speak for other areas of the country, but I think there's a big thing here in South Texas, is that you'll have a birthday party for a 1-year-old, but really the party and the show that's being done and the other activities, that's for the older brothers and sisters, that's for the cousins, that's for the neighbor kids, that's for grandma and grandpa, the aunts and uncles, that's for all the neighbors, and it's almost like a mini festival in the backyard. And usually everybody pitches in and helps, and those are a lot of
fun. Do you find, based on your experience, how does the parents pick up this whole tab, or is it, are you seeing some of the stuff like how they, Chuck E. Cheese and every parent pitches in $10-$15 or whatever? Based on your experience in your area, what seems to be the norm nowadays? My children are all grown, and now I have grandchildren, and so I'm just curious over what you find, how that all works out money-wise.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I can't speak to things like a venue like Chuck E. Cheese, because usually when I'm called for a party, the mom will tell me, yeah, well, we went to Chuck E. Cheese last year. We really want to do something different this year and have it at home. And so we thought about you. So I'm Chuck E. Cheese is my competition around here, I guess.
Oh, okay. But,
usually the birthday parents will handle everything, but they'll call in, if they have a sister or brother to help out, or a neighbor to help with some of the arrangements as well.
So do you give the parents a checklist, or I know in your book you were talking about you provide some checklists to help parents make sure that they don't forget an important component?
There are some checklists in the book. There's an overall to-do check from, going from several weeks out to, 3 weeks out to 2 weeks ahead. Make sure you do these things 3 weeks ahead, 2 weeks ahead, 1 week ahead, the day before. The grocery checklist, checklist for the party supplies. And so I have examples of those in the book, which can be, certainly can be modeled, because a parent may choose to do say things slightly differently, which is perfectly fine. If it's if you have something that works for you, go for it. I do also have those as PDFs, and I was going to say, Nancy, that anybody wants to get a copy of those, they can contact me through my website, which is funnybirthdayshow.com. And I'll be happy to send them a link to the PDFs for that, and that way, if they've got something coming up, well, they can certainly start with those, and they can use them over and over again.
Well, thank you very much, everybody.
Sure,
heard that? You can go get a free download of that checklist.
Yeah.
So what about the
contact? There's a contact page on the. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No,
Nancy.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
There's a contact page on the toward the bottom of the web page. Go ahead and fill it out. Tell me you want the birthday checklist, and then when I get that, make sure I've got your email address, and I'll forward the download link to you.
Okay, great. So what about catering? What do you think about that? Good idea, bad idea, doesn't really matter.
There's nothing wrong with having a catered party, and there might be reasons why you'd want to do it, but I think for something on the level of a kid's birthday party, I think that just a little thought and planning that you can do it yourself, and in a lot of ways I think that's the better way to go, because at the end of the day, the, you know, the birthday boy or girl is going to remember that you planned this, you did all this, you got all this planning done, you know, for him or her, you know, and they're actually going to love that, remember that forever.
So do you have a few tips that you can teach parents and grandparents and anybody out there who's listening how they can throw a fabulous party without breaking the bank?
Yeah, well, a couple of tips to think about are to, first of all, plan in advance. Just kind of figure out what you want to do 4 weeks out, 3 weeks out, 2 weeks out. You know, make yourself a checklist. Figure out the food that you want to have for that. There's some ideas for some creative ideas for food and snacks in the book too. Games, of course, in my area, again, I think in other areas of the country too, you know, a pinata is almost mandatory, and so those are great. And you know, those aren't terribly expensive. Even if you get those through Amazon, you can get a decent pinata for a fair price.
Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I thought the call had dropped. So what has been your most exciting party that you can tell us about that you've had, the most fun?
You know,
I'll let you think about that for a minute because I wanted to give you a compliment. I absolutely love that picture of you with Puppet. I think that is just adorable.
Well, thank you. That is my puppet Sagebrush. I figured out a long time ago that he was the best single thing that I've come up with for my act. So he's in virtually every show that I do, whether it's a birthday party, whether it's a company awards banquet or anything like that. And I don't know how I lucked onto that, but people just kind of towards him. So,
well, I thought it was absolutely adorable. Let's change topics just a minute. Off of
sure.
Your first radio, I really want to encourage people to write and publish a book if they feel like they've got one in their heart somewhere. And usually, most
mm-hmm.
people, when you ask them, writing and publishing a book is on their bucket list. So, what can you tell us about your experience? Maybe share some tips that you've learned. Number one, did you self-publish or did you go the traditional route, and tell us the reasons why? And then maybe share a few tips with us.
Well, I did self-publish, and I kind of like the idea of being a do-it-yourselfer whenever I can. Sometimes that backfires on me, but this time it didn't. It worked out real well. I used the CreateSpace platform to do this book, and I was actually recommended for him by Rene Godefroy, who's a motivational speaker in Atlanta. He told me about that, and I discovered that it was very easy to use. They do have paid services that people want to do, you know, like paid design services.
Right.
And editing services, but they have loads of free tools as well, and I found the platform very easy to use, so I think it worked out very well for me.
Well, I agree, and that seems to be one of the most popular routes that people are choosing now, and you know, they don't give up their rights to their book, and they have control. They can make changes 24/7 if they want to.
That's right.
And that's, you know, an additional source of income. And for you, you know, you could be promoting that at your parties and things. So do you have
yep.
anything else that you'd like to share with us today before we leave on maybe parties, or share one of them fun birthday parties, or the most unique birthday party maybe that you've ever had?
the most.
I'm sorry, I put you on the spot. I just happened to think about
that.
You
did. Well, I do so many. It's hard to remember, and I think I enjoy them all. I'll tell you one that really touched me, and that was a party I did a couple of years ago, and it was for a girl. I think she was 9 years old, and she had cancer. And frankly, she wasn't doing very well, but she really couldn't participate in the show. But it was fine. Everybody had a great time at the show and everything. And then a couple of weeks later, I got a note from the girl's grandmother telling me that she had passed away, but that they had very happy memories of the party. That touched me, given that little girl a smile right toward the end, made a difference right toward the end. Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you asked that because it took me a few seconds to remember that, but I remember that one as being very special just for that reason.
Absolutely. Joe, I thank you so much for joining us today. I do have your link listed on the episode, but for those who may be listening and not by a computer, could you tell them where they could learn more about you and how to order and get a copy of your book, Secrets to Planning Your Fun, Memorable, and Stress-Free Birthday Party?
Well, absolutely. The book. First of all, you can visit funnybirthdayshow.com, and that's going to be getting a rebuild very, very soon. But there is a page on there where you can purchase the book through CreateSpace, if you care to. It is also available at, as they say, most major booksellers, Amazon, you know, Barnes and Noble. It is available as a Kindle book as well through Amazon, and so you can check there. And I also have a page set up, a page for the book itself, if you want to care to check it out. And the web address for that is thebookspot.org/birthday.
Awesome. Today's guest was entertainer and author Joe Libby. Joe, I really appreciate you being on the show today. What fun.
Thanks, Nancy. It was a real pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Guys, you've been listening to Author Universe Radio. If you enjoyed the show, please make sure you click on the Follow Me button so you can access the episodes 24/7. Remember, all the episodes are archived so you can listen and learn online 24/7. Author Universe, inspiration, training, firing authors. See you next time. Have a great weekend, Joe.
Thanks, Nancy. You too.